Okay, question. I'm going to start out with a question on this one. How will I know if I'm successful? How will you know if you're successful? How do you know if you're successful? It's kind of a weird question, isn't it? And I'm going to make it even a little bit more weird on this one. How will I know if I'm financially successful? What's going through your head, you know, when you think about that kind of stuff? You know, think about it for a second. What does it mean really to be financially successful? What does it mean to be financially successful? And you're probably thinking through some stuff, and if we were to probably take a survey here, we would have all kinds of different answers. And some of you are probably thinking, yeah, not so fast, Paul, because you're going to want me to kind of form up an answer in my head, and you're going to trick me into saying something and then show how totally wrong I am. That's what you're going to do, because I know you. And that's pretty much what I'm going to do, so you might as well just go with it. We're in a series that we're calling Lighten Up, because God, believe it or not, actually wants you to enjoy this life, okay? We sometimes think that, no, I shouldn't be able to enjoy life because God's probably really mad at me somewhere back in time because of what I did, and so I shouldn't be. But actually, that's not the case. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. Take heart. I've overcome the world. I've overcome all the stuff that's going against you. I fight against that. The Bible tells you to rejoice like over 400 times. It has the word rejoice. Okay, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Be thankful for this and this and this and this. Now, one of the big things that sometimes we have trouble with and we stress over all the time is this whole thing about money. Okay, money. What am I supposed to do with it? How am I supposed to enjoy it? How do I have it? How much should I be having it? And all this kind of stuff. But money is a big stressor, okay? It's one of those things that stresses out a lot of people. We get worked up about it. Many have tensions. Many of the tensions you have, if you're married as a couple, many of the arguments you have is over what? So about money. It's about money. Do I spend this much, or how do I spend this, or how much should we be saving, or this or that, and arguments come because of that. One of the things we complain about the most is how much stuff what? How much stuff costs, you know? How much does it cost, and how much are the price of gas going up, or eggs going up, or whatever else it is that's going up? And those of you in school, if you're still in school, the pressure's on, okay? If you're in middle school or high school, the pressure's on to get a better education. So you can get a what? A better job. To get a better job so you can get what? More money. And there it is, okay? And there it is. It all comes back to that. And then the Bible comes along and says this. Don't wear yourself out to get rich. Stop being worried about it. And you think, yeah, really? You know? You don't live in the Bay Area, pal, you know. or your chariot doesn't have 130,000 miles on it, and you can't afford to get a new one, you know. And we think that, okay, yeah, that's nice and that's true. But the writer of this doesn't live in my world, you know. He doesn't live in the world that I live in. But Jesus, again, says this, take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart. I've got this. And I don't know about, I want to take that for real, you know, because if I don't take that to heart, I do have all kinds of stressors, and money becomes one of the number one big things. And there's great principles that God has communicated to us in the Bible that reveal what we're supposed to do based on who He is. Okay? Now, the way I behave is going to be, and this is going to be based on who God is and what He has said He will do for me. And I'm going to give you six principles on how to lighten up about money, okay? Six principles. There's probably about 60 of them, but I'm going to choose six because I don't want to keep you here till next Thursday, okay? First of all, number one, enjoy it more. Enjoy it more. And you probably didn't see that one coming, but there's a great verse that was written by a king in Israel who had a bunch of money, okay? He had a bunch of money and stuff and all that, and he saw the utility of it futility of it, utility. He saw the utility and the futility of having money. He saw it's like, I've had it all, and it hasn't done that much. But he comes to the conclusion, and he comes to the circle, and he says this, even so, I've noticed one thing at least that's good, okay? He's kind of lived his life, he's tired of it. But he says, it's good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them, and to accept their lot in life. And it's a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. In other words, enjoy what you got. It's really okay to enjoy what you've got. Some of us grew up in a situation where it seemed like having stuff and money stuff, or it was preached to us, is sinful, okay? Or it's worldly to have stuff. And I get that. An excess of that and living for that kind of stuff does become and does bump you away from closeness from God. But sometimes we kind of go back in our mind and say, I don't deserve to enjoy the things that I have worked for. Somehow there's some sin involved in that. And that's not the case. Okay? The Bible says clearly, if you've got it, it's really okay to enjoy it. That's fine. I live in this guilt, shame world, you know, and I'm trying to break myself out of on this one that I shouldn't really enjoy those kinds of things. And I had a pair of wading boots for fishing, and my old boots were 20 years old, okay? And guilty me, as I found some on the internet, guilty me didn't deserve them, okay? It didn't deserve the new perfect boots that were there. And probably a dozen times I had keyed them up on my internet screen, and I saw that little green button there that said add to cart, and I couldn't do it. Why? Because I have in the back of my mind that I'm not good enough to deserve these kinds of things. I shouldn't, even though I work hard, I shouldn't. And God said, I've given you this world to enjoy. I've given this world to live in, so enjoy it. Enjoy it more. It's a gift from God. It really is. Second, number two, and you'll know this one's coming. This one's familiar. Fear it more. Okay? Fear money more. Fear it more than you could ever imagine. The Bible says, for the love of money is the source of all kinds of evil. And you know that's true, okay? What does money have? You know, the love of money? Boy, what does it bring? Envy, if you don't have enough of it. Jealousy, if someone else has more than you. Anger, selfishness, frustration, and cheating and lying. I mean, it creates a whole world of problems. And that's why, again, Paul is telling Timothy this. For the love of money is a source of all kinds of evil. Now, he's telling Timothy so he can tell his church family. He's a pastor. He says, some have been so eager to have it that they have wandered away from the faith and have broken their hearts with many sorrows. I think you need to fear it a lot more. Fear it more than you could ever imagine on what it does to you. And I have concluded, and you've heard me say this again and again, money makes people weird, okay? Money makes people really weird. And the more that's on the table, the weirder people get about it. This church once received an inheritance, okay? This guy had found Christ here, okay? He found Jesus here, and he fell in love with this place, and when he died, he surprised everyone when his will was open, and he left one-third of his estate to Mariners Church, okay? A number of years ago, one-third of his estate to Mariners Church. And I knew his family, and when they realized the church got one-third of the estate, they weirded out. I mean, they went nuts on that one. They got really wacky about this whole deal. And I mean angry. He didn't mean to do that. He wasn't in his right mind, you know. And then his will had that clause, if anybody contests this will, they're what? They're cut out. So they couldn't get too angry about it. But they did all they could to manipulate me to try and say, you know, he really intended this to go here, you know, and it would be really good if it went to this, and I'll manage that money for you if you want, you know. I mean, it just got really wacky on us, and we'd meet, you know, as a leadership team, steering team, and we'd pray and talk about this one, and, you know, and I said, man, money makes people weird. It makes people weird. And then I realized, and I said this to our steering team, our leadership team, you know, if money makes people weird, then we could be getting what? Weird about it too. And we have to be really, really frightened about this sum that's coming in, because money makes you weird. Be scared of it when it's on the table. And this is why the same guy says this, okay, in Ecclesiastes. He says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. So I would say, you know, be afraid, be very afraid, you know, of this kind of thing. Number three, save less. Save less. And if you hate me for this, I get it, you know. I'm not a fan of this point, this principle right here. I sometimes will sketch out messages months in advance, you know, and I had this one down, and I thought, I want to talk about lighting up about money, because sometimes we all kind of get weirded out by this one. And so I actually had the points, and one of the points I made was save more, because I'm sure the Bible has lots of verses about saving more, you know, consider the ant, all this kind of stuff. Save more. And so this past week, I came together, and I thought, I know it, I'm going to find all these passages on saving. The Bible contains a lot of stuff about saving. It doesn't at all. I wanted to find lots of verses that talk about how important it is to store up your stuff. There aren't any. In fact, arguably, there are none. Now, the standard verses, when I looked closer, were not about saving. The standard verses you hear, and again, look them up. The standard verses that you hear, they're more about diligence than they are about saving. They're more about working hard or about wisdom. Or about if you're wise, you'll end up with a lot. But it doesn't talk about an amount to save. It doesn't talk about how much you should save. It doesn't talk about how you should save really at all. In fact, the Bible is kind of anti-saving, all right? It's kind of anti-saving. There are more verses that warn against storing it up than there are about saving. Here we go. Don't store up, and this is Jesus, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. And I know, because it got real quiet in here as I'm talking about this point, I get it all, and you're all thinking, yeah, I'm going to go home and look at my Bible and see. And I get it, and please do it. Look for it and find it all out. I understand that. And I would too, because I didn't like where this was going to go. And I kept going through these verses that these, you know, websites say, here's about saving, here's a great verse about saving. And I would say, I'm not sure the emphasis here is on saving. I'm sure the emphasis seemed more on work hard and about be responsible. But then start looking up all the verses about giving and trusting. And trusting God with everything you've got. And all of a sudden, you're going to have your world begin to get rocked all over the place. In the Old Testament, the Bible, the Israelites were in the desert. There was no Trader Joe's, okay? They just couldn't go there, and they complained, and God gave them manna. You know, the manna deal, you know, all this kind of manna from, and it would appear in the morning, and they were supposed to collect it and cook it and fry it and make doubles out of it and all this kind of really good stuff. And God would say this, I want you to collect only enough for what? One day. And you just think, well, why? I mean, I actually like to work. I'm not going to collect for one day. I'm going to collect enough for the week, heck, you know, and then I can do other stuff and get on with my life. But if you collected more than a day's worth, it turns into what? Brussels sprouts. Okay, it just did. It's just a, Why did God do that? I mean, did he want him to just exercise all this kind of energy and all this kind of, why did God do this? And you know why? Because it made them what on God? Dependent upon God. It made them continually dependent upon God. Saving, again, I'm not sure it's a bad thing. It's not a sinful thing. But there's a danger in saving. There is a danger in saving. Understand that. Not that, well, there's danger in saving too much. No, there's a danger in saving, period. Because all of a sudden it puts us in the spot where we no longer have to depend upon God. Okay? I love this verse in the Bible. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who's the Lord? Who's the Lord? You hear the warning here on this one? And so, I mean, I think, and, you know, we have a 401k, I get it. And I understand there's wisdom in that, all that. But understand the danger in this of saving too much. We always say, well, I want to leave some for my kids, okay? Understand the danger in that. If you leave enough for your kids, I'm just talking about the danger of it, you're depriving your children of the privilege of depending upon God. There's an inherent danger in that. Now, I'm not going to tell you how much you should save, and I'm never going to tell you that you shouldn't leave anything to your family or to your kids. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. I just want us to understand together, the Bible is not big on saving. It's big on depending and trusting and being at the point where you have to say, God, if it were not for you, I'm not sure I could make it. Factor that in to your retirement strategy. Factor that in to your life. Factor that in to how much you give, because that's the next point. Number four is give more. Give more. And you know I was going to say that one. I sent a letter to the church about our financial situation, and it's not great. And, you know, unless somebody dies and gives a third of their estate, we may be in challenge. And some of you have actually already responded, and God bless you for that. And I know with a letter to everyone, we may have a tendency, you know, and sometimes we do that. Wow, I'm sorry about that situation. But my situation isn't that good, so I'm sure good people in the church will give. I'm sure there are some really good people that will give. We say this, an announcement to everybody is an announcement to what? Nobody, you know, because somebody else can really pick up the slack here. And I understand that. I was watching TV the other day, and you know who has a really cool voice on TV? Samuel L. Jackson. You know, Samuel L. Jackson's got an awesome voice. And because he has a cool voice, Capital One uses him on their commercials. And he's the guy that says what? Come on. What's in your wallet? You know, what's in your wallet? And he pulls it all out, and it's a Capital One credit card and all this. And some of you have in your wallets, you have business credit cards, okay? And you use it to benefit the person that you are working for. That's the reason that you have that credit card, to benefit the business that you're working for. And you have freedom to spend it any way you want, as long as it's going to benefit the business you're working for. And I'll say this one, because the Bible would say it. Everything that you and I have and everything that you and I own is like God has given us a credit card, the ultimate diamond credit card. Everything you have is God's credit card to you. Because after all I have is Christ, because all I am is Christ. And what's in my wallet is whose? It's his. It's his. It's like his ultimate business credit card to further his kingdom in this world. Now, I can enjoy it. I get it. And there's part of that. But the credit card is his. And he would say, spend it I'm furthering my business in this world. And I sometimes want to think it's my credit card, but God says, nah, it's not. He said it's mine. So when I give, again, and what you have, just remember what's in your wallet, you know. It's God. There's a Bible verse that talks about the early church, and this one kind of gets stuck in your mind. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. That's not the Communist Manifesto, by the way, all right? That's scripture. That's what the Bible says. This is the first church. And I understand this is descriptive. It's not prescriptive. It's not talking about how we should be doing the same thing. We're not going to create a collectivistic society right here on this one, because I don't believe that kind of stuff should happen from the government down and all that kind of stuff. I get the context of new believers and the situation of many coming from out of town. I got it. I understand that. I know the Bible. But what I want to get is generosity here. I want to get the attitude behind it, okay? The attitude behind it is, if you have need of it, and it's God's credit card anyway, and it belongs to God, I'll give it. I think we should give until we get nervous and have to trust God, okay? It seems to me that becomes the biblical standard. We give until we get a little bit nervous and have to trust God, because that puts me in a place of dependence upon God. Number five, worry less. Here's why we can give more. It's because of the words of Jesus, okay? And when Jesus uses these words, he's talking about stuff and money. The whole context is about stuff and money. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Worry less. Write down somewhere or type it into your phone this verse. It's Luke 6:38. I didn't put it on the screen. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, give and you'll receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Okay? This is a promise of Jesus, and I'm going to choose to trust Jesus. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. Okay? The amount you give determines the amount you give back. And the whole idea is, if you've ever taken you scoop something in, in like a little cup or a measuring thing on this one. And it's like, here you go, and you dump it out. What God says is, God will scoop in and he'll shake it. And whenever you shake something, it makes room for what? For more. And when you press down, you make room for even more. So he's basically saying is, you will never outgive God. Never. He'll outgive you on this one. So worry less. Last one, number six, is thank more. Thank God more. Let's go back to the desert and the Israelites, if you can, okay? And I would assume that after a while, okay, you have this man in the desert and all this stuff, and your day gets up and goes like this. It's a Tuesday, and you say, okay, kids, it's time to get up, okay, you brush your teeth, get your homework done. Don't forget to collect the manna before you go off to school, And that would happen on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and for on and on and on. And I would think day after day would start to get routine, I think it would get really routine. You get the manna, you do whatever you need to do with it. But suppose one day was different and you went outside and it was bright like it is every day, and it was barren like the desert always is. And you looked around and you saw how barren it really was. And you saw the manna there, but all of a sudden you realized, if it wasn't for that manna, I couldn't live here. I couldn't survive. If it wasn't for God who showed up last night, I couldn't make it. You looked down and you saw again, like for the first time all over again, the manna, the bread from heaven. And you thought, it is by God's love to me that I have this. You scoop it up and say, it is only by God's love to me that I have this. And you gave thanks. What we have, I don't know what I have, gets kind of routine, you know. You got it in your wallet. You got it online. You got it on your card. It just, you slap that card down and it gets really routine. And we forget. The Bible says this. If we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Isn't that an amazing verse? If we have food and clothing, we have content. We'll be content with that. There's not one naked person in here, okay? Not one. I would know, okay? We have food, and if you don't let us know, we'll provide contentment. I start out by asking the question, how will I know if I'm financially successful? Careful with that question. Be real careful with that question. God's ways are not always our ways. It's not going to be a number. It will never be a number, okay? Never. It's not going to be a ratio. I'm successful when I get what God wants. I get it. That I can enjoy it more. That's why I'm financially successful. If you go out to lunch today, enjoy the food. Give thanks for it. If I fear it more, I'm afraid of what it could do for me. I'm scared when I get a raise. I'm scared if I get my bonus. I'm scared of what I might do. You're financially successful when you save less because you trust more. And when you give more and worry less and thank God more. God has given this awesome platinum, diamond, gold card. And he says, now, I've called you into this world to do my work, to make disciples of all people. That's our job. That's our calling. I could say, what's in your wallet? You know, what's in your wallet? I can't say it like Samuel, but I can say it. I know it's a tough thing. I get it. I understand it. Money is a weird thing, and it hits us weird. But wouldn't it be just like the God that we have to throw a really wild curveball into this thing called money and do it differently than we could ever have imagined and make it happen or have us think about it differently? I love that kind of a God. I love God for that. Now, I'm going to take a moment. We're going to pray. And Father God, I thank you so much. That you don't leave us to just struggle with this stuff about money all alone by ourselves, but you give us principles, truths. God, and you give us then your presence with us, to walk with us as we work through the challenges of this. God, you are a trustworthy God. You are a God who meets us in our need. Father, help us to place our hope in you. You who richly provide everything for us to enjoy. Help us to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share. Father, I would ask that we would be able to treasure up for ourselves a firm foundation for the future, which is trust in you, so that we may take hold of that which is really, truly life. Holy Spirit, thank you that you work within us and that you will. And we praise you in Jesus' name.